Hello, hockey fans. It's March 30th, 2020. We're in the middle of a scary pandemic, but we're back with episode 45 of the ClapperCast to bring back some more hockey news and just discussion. I'm Burke.
I'm Sean.
And I hope everyone is doing safe out there in their quarantine with no sports, nothing to pay attention to. I know it's been kind of mind-numbing for me, Sean. How's it been for you?
Luckily, I've been using this time to catch up on various Netflix shows and gaming that I haven't been doing for the winter, so I'm making out okay still.
Yeah, there's always a little bit of stuff that you can always like fall back on. Luckily, gaming is one of those things. I know for those of people that have cable, NBC Sportsnet are showing some games from the past. I watched one of those. It was the I guess it was conference quarterfinals from 2011 when the Canucks played Chicago in game seven, and that was kind of the slaying of the dragon for the Canucks. That was a pretty cool one to watch again. It's an exciting
Don't
game.
tell Chris Campoli they were showing that one. He probably doesn't want to live that game back.
Yeah, that little flip that got caught by Burrows is a
Oops.
great play. Yeah, I mean, it's been what now about almost 2 weeks
Yeah, I want to say 2.5.
since the NHL ceased the season
I believe it was March
temporarily.
12th they shut down. They shut everything down.
Yeah, so shortly after our last episode, I mean, everyone's probably up to date on that now, but scary times. Pretty much every major sports league has, shut down operations for the time being, essentially. Started with the NBA. I think then
Just
the
Rudy
NHL is
Gobert got the
next.
entirety of North American professional sports shut down, basically.
Way to go. Way to go. What a
It's
cool guy.
an
That'll
impressive
be,
achievement.
I didn't know who that guy was before, but now that's the only thing anybody
Oh, yeah.
is ever going to know him for who's not a
He's gonna
basketball
live on an
fan. So,
infamy.
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a great name for himself. Just, the COVID-19 guy.
Basically.
so that's a good thing for him. Yeah, so like every other sports league has kind of, followed suit. NBA was number one. I think the NHL did it the day after. MLS did it.
Yeah, the NBA did it on a Wednesday night during that, basically during that game that Gobert was sitting out or going to sit out because he was sick. They canceled at that game. Then the next day, like all of the other leagues started talking about it. The NHL rumored or either rumored or announced it the next day, late in the afternoon,
Right, I
right
remember
before
they
the
were
games
kind of
would have
having a lot
started.
of discussions, and there was about a day there where we didn't know what they were going to do. NFL has stopped like training camps and stuff. MLB has pushed opening day and suspended Grapefruit League.
The XFL just
Yeah.
straight up canceled the season.
Yeah, that they actually hung on for a while, and then they recently did that. Even like NASCAR, everything, every
PGA.
major gathering of people basically is just not happening, which
The
is good.
KHL held out for the longest. I think they just shut down over the weekend, basically.
Yeah, I know there was kind of a long time period there where we didn't hear anything about Russia, and then it seems like now I'm hearing something about them every day about what they're doing. Yeah, kind of scary times. Sounds like the curve is flattening, so that's some good news.
Promising signs at the beginning in certain parts of Canada, I'll say. The rest of the country in the US, not necessarily.
Yeah, Canada specifically is doing a great job, I
It was
think.
BC and Quebec are basically the two that have promising signs so far, and the rest are kind of hit and miss.
Yeah, Quebec and Ontario have definitely kind of shot up in the amount of confirmed cases, but it's not growing at the rate that it was, at least last time I checked, as of this morning. Just seems like the numbers are going up, but there's also people being confirmed cured of it. So, or not being cured, but treated, successful treatment. So that's good. But yeah, it's, you know, everyone's kind of got to do their part. And part of that is staying inside and watching old sports highlights. So I've been trying to do my best on that, you know, watching, you know, old Gretzky highlights and Messier and old fights and stuff like that.
This can really be a great time to help, like, educate hockey fans too, and like showing all these old stars and like old games, and kind of showing everybody the history of the game and what's happened over the last 20-30 years in the sport, really.
Definitely. I know there's been a kind of a pretty vocal group online that want the NHL to open up like the archives and, you know, show some of the old games that the footage isn't readily accessible anywhere. I think that'd be cool. I know, like I was talking about, Sportsnet is kind of showing some old games. They're showing, you know, the Raptors trip to the finals and them winning from last year. They're showing that. But it'd be kind of cool to see, you know, like the 1994 Canucks run or something like that. You know, just watching all of those games. It'd be kind of cool if they started doing stuff like that.
That's kind of one of those historic ones too, with like Messier's guarantee there.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, events like that you hear about from like longtime hockey fans or the more educated ones, you hear about them, but then you don't see it. So you just kind of like, you know, the events there, but you don't know what it actually was or kind of how it felt when it was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. To watch these older games, and you kind of get to feel the atmosphere and you feel like the tension or the tone of the game and actually experience it in a way.
Yeah. That one that I watched, that Canucks versus Chicago game, was a lot of fun to watch. I watched the entire game. It was nice, you know, there was no intermission. They just went through commercials and then came right back. It was fun. Like, I knew what would happen in the game, but, you know, I didn't remember every single detail. So it was fun to watch, you know, that those were two exciting teams, you know, peak Sedinery, and just to see them get shut down by like Taves, Patrick Kane, Roberto Luongo. It was fun. So, you know, I think the longer that this goes on, the more people are going to want some sort of sports to watch. It'd be cool to have some sort of campaign like that where they, you know, 1 week maybe they show, like I said, the 94 Cup, or, you know, even like the Summit Series or something like that. Some cool historic moments in sports. I think it'd be
kind
fun.
Kind of like countdown years, like each week is a different year or something. They show one game a night, like seven of the most memorable games of each of the years going back, but going back through history. Just kind of like little things like that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Be kind of hard because, you know, everywhere is kind of working on a skeleton crew right now, so it might be kind of hard to facilitate that. But you know, once they kind of get it set up, they can just press play on it. That'd be kind of cool. I would definitely be down for that. Yeah, is there any other kind of like neat or interesting responses to all of this that you've noticed, Sean?
The one that stands out to me is just the response from especially players in terms of treating the arena and the team operations staff. How it expands beyond the NHL too, across different sports, that the players are stepping up and helping to support the arena staff who are losing their paychecks. And there was a handful of teams, the NHL, I think it was Calgary, Boston, and Winnipeg were the main ones, that the owners or ownership groups had to basically be shamed into supporting the arena staff for the two or three weeks paychecks that they're losing there. That it took Boston, like a week before it.
Did Boston eventually cave in? I thought at one point they were the last remaining team to do so.
They were the last. They caved in kind of, but they didn't. I can't remember the wording, but they used some tricky wording to get around actually paying their staff. It was like a word basically that they can use to get around paying them properly or something. Yeah, oh, it's something to do with like the games aren't canceled yet, so they won't be paying them yet. It's something to do with like the games are the cancellation of the games. If they get canceled, will be when they can get paid, I think was the tricky wording they used on that.
Yeah, it's a shame that that's in an American market, because I know in Canada, like, I'm so thankful I'm a Canadian right now because of our government's response to all of this and, you know, giving it the the respect it deserves and acting in a bipartisan manner to get things done quickly. Yes. You know, we've got like the new Canada Emergency Response Benefit. So even if some of those arena workers weren't getting compensated by the team, they would have access to this alternative to employment insurance that they normally wouldn't qualify for in this crazy time. So, you know, it's awesome. You know, they can probably double up. They can probably get topped up by the team and still apply for this to be able to survive and, you know, pay for food and rent and all that. But in the States, it's just nothing, basically. So it's a wild time. I'm very thankful that I'm in Canada. It's a weird time. I don't want to get too political on this, but man.
Well, not to mention too, like, our health insurance and healthcare is not tied to our job. So if we get laid off, we still have health insurance and health coverage. Well, not insurance in terms of like prescriptions and stuff, but coverage and the ability to go to a doctor or the hospital.
Basic coverage, yeah. Yeah, true. So, you know, hoping everyone stays safe out there, you know, doing their best to flatten the curve and to limit your exposure, especially if you have no access to things like that. You know, it's super tough for people who, I feel like the people who are going to be impacted the most by this are the people who unfortunately are hovering by that poverty line, because they don't have, you know, the savings to make up for it. It's gonna be a tough time. Really worried for a lot of people that I know.
That's a huge one when the league shut down when they did, and there were still people saying, "Oh, we'll just play with no fans." There's so many people connected to the people that are involved that they might be fine, like the players might be okay, but they might have families at home, or maybe they're around their parents a lot who are high risk, or maybe they have, say, Max Domi has diabetes, and that's like a major risk factor for it too. So all of these like other conditions, yeah, and family members and all those other factors make it even playing with no fans, you still have a lot of people traveling and gathering together in close proximity in that building on frequent basis, that it's just like it just facilitates the spread of it. And we see how like contagious it's been across the sports leagues, with just like the one player in the NBA transferring it around to a variety of teams have tested positive, and they've kind of all linked them together to the one index case or whatever in the league. And even how it's spread to the NHL, because apparently there was like, it was either like an arena worker in San Jose had it, and then two teams, the Senators and the Avalanche, that have said there's confirmed cases on the team, both played in, yeah, San Jose in early March. Within, you know, a couple of weeks, they've had players test positive for it.
Do you know if the Senators are linked to that same case? Because they've had a couple players that have...
I believe they did play in San Jose in early March.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I think the NHL is good that they acted early, because I know initially they put a limitation on players to stay in the city that they are employed in, but eventually they told players, okay, go home now, and then they were able to do that before, you know, all of these things like travel bans and border controls and stuff were in place, so they allowed people to kind of get home and get into a place that they were comfortable staying. Because I saw like in the MLS, there's like players in like Vancouver, and there's like, they're just locked in a room with like a roommate, and there's just two of them in there, and they're in a hotel.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so
do they even,
you know,
speak
you're,
the same
you're away
language?
From your family in a different country, and you're locked in, yeah, basically a hotel room for who knows how long. Like that's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Not ideal. But you know, some things are bigger than sports. So, you know, just doing our best to get through this. So that being said, you know, right? We don't really know a timeline on when everything will, you know, return to normal. But there's already been a few proposals for what that would look like for the NHL. You know, there's ideas of like a giant round robin playoff, you know, returning to an abridged regular season, or playing the entire rest of the regular season and extending the date even up to like right before training camps would normally start. So I wanted to ask you, Sean, say this timeline looks like, you know, things are kind of coming back to normal by the 1st of June. What would you think would be like your ideal scenario as a fan?
Personally, I would do like what are they talking about? Like a 1 or 2 week training camp to get people back into a little bit of game shape. And then yeah. I would personally go straight into the playoffs because I'm looking forward and I want to get, it'd be nice to give the players like a little bit longer of a time of an off season between the end of this season and the start of next one, because it's going to be cut pretty close already. And if you do the rest of the regular season, you're pushing like an extra 2-3 weeks, and that could be huge when you're basically finishing this season in like the end of September, doing the draft and free agency, week off, 2 weeks training camp again, and then right back into the regular season for next year at like the beginning of November. So if you can give them a couple extra weeks like in September or October and only push the regular season back 3 weeks, like moving forward, that's probably the best call. And then it also, I mean, it gets us into playoff hockey right away, right? As a fan, you know, you want to see that right away. You've got the teams, they're all going to be pretty much 100% healthy by that point. Like a lot of the major injuries are going to be healed and they'll be able to train up a little bit and get ready to go. I can understand the players, like they'd want some time to find their game form again and just to kind of build up some momentum and build up that kind of passion and intensity leading into the playoffs. But I'd go straight to the playoffs. I'd base the standings on points percentage, to be honest. They're all the teams are within 3 games of each other. If they want to do something where they have all the teams at least at the same amount of games, you could have like a 3-6 game finish up to the regular season, gets everyone to like 74 games or so, and then into the playoffs. And then you have everyone at the same amount of games, and there's no arguing over, oh, if we had played the same amount of games as this team, we would have made it, or and stuff like that. It's like you played the same amount anyways.
Yeah, I think you have to at least allow teams to play the same amount of games before we jump into playoffs. I think that's the bare minimum. Yeah. You know, whether you extend it past that or not, I think that's the real question. You know, I would like to have a full length regular season just because of selfish reasons and because of things like I want Ovechkin to pass Gretzky and things like that. But I think the reality of the situation will be some sort of shortened season. Because you have to consider too, like the longer that we go for a playoff run. So say, yeah, playoffs goes to the end of summer. That's really going to penalize a team that goes deep because they got to start right back up again.
They have like a 2 week turnaround between everything. The common timeline that I see is talked about the most is, you know, very optimistically restarting the training camps at the beginning of July for a couple of weeks, run the rest of the regular season to the end of July, playoffs in through August into like mid to late September. And then draft and free agency right after, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks training camp, start the regular season again in beginning of November. So you have like a month between the end of the cup final and the start of the next season.
Yeah, I think that's doable. Have you seen anything where they've proposed like rather than a best of 7, it's like a best of 5 or even like best of 3 or anything like that?
I've seen the best of 5s proposed for the first 3 rounds and then go back to a best of 7 for the cup final. I wouldn't be opposed to that. It kind of cuts.
Kind of more like a baseball.
Down. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could get down with that. I think that would be a fair solution to kind of cut down on, you know, the slog of making it through playoffs in summertime too. You know, it's going to be shit ice no matter what location that you're playing in. The ice is going to be brutal.
Yeah.
Whether you're in
those who playing, you know, field
Tampa
hockey
or Montreal or whatever, you know, Montreal's not going to make it, but you know,
if they make it a 2014 playoff, they might.
Yeah. Poor Detroit, still not making it.
Could you imagine if they made like a 31 team playoff, every team makes it, and Detroit just goes on an absolute tear and makes it the final or something?
That would be the best. It would be that would top the Blues by far. That would be even better than the Blues. But yeah, it brings up an interesting point: is there going to be like an asterisk next to this Cup winner if it does come back? You know, it's always going to be kind of a black eye on this Cup win. It's like, oh, you know, well, this team was rolling before the coronavirus, and they really would have, you know, given you a what for in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a real like talking point amongst sports fans when all of this comes back.
I did see the start of discussion on that around Philadelphia, because we had talked about this in our last episode, that they had just been, they'd been hot right into the suspension of the season. And, you know, they're kind of poised to have a decent run this year with the way they'd been playing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, there's a few teams out there who are going to benefit, you know, with having injuries and things, like Steven Stamkos was out long-term. There's all sorts of players that have had a huge
Pittsburgh's going to be able to get some of their players back before they get injured again immediately.
Like Colorado, you know, McKinnon had missed a couple games. Mikko Rantanen was out. Grubauer was out. So, you know, there's a lot of good teams that'll benefit from this break, but, you know, everyone's going to have to blow the rust off. But the good news is that every team is going to kind of start on the same page.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's kind of one argument against that asterisk, is that like every team's in the same situation.
Yep.
So it's kind of, you know, you can talk about the asterisk, you can talk about, oh, we were doing good before, but like every team is in the same situation here. It's not like this one particular team got screwed over more than the others.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think if the playoff series length gets affected, then people will always talk about, well, you know, if that was a best of seven.
We were only down 3-0. If that was a best of seven, we could have come back.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can't ever prevent that sort of stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a real discussion on what that looks like if we even do come back.
Yeah. Like I said, I think July is the optimistic timeline. And that's like, based off of the timelines that we're seeing just about the progression of all of these events, like that's very optimistic. And then you also have to consider, you don't want to start it up again too soon, because then you're risking making it come back like in that second wave that's going to be way worse than the first one if you just get everyone in arenas again and traveling way too quickly.
Yeah, and I know sports fans are degenerates, so they would for sure buy tickets as soon as they reopen it. But yeah, it's not going to be a safe thing to do, is to get large gatherings as soon as people have spent time only inside. I mean, even just for coronavirus, like not even just for coronavirus, but for anything else, like you've been in your bubble, in your apartment for so long, the worst thing for you to do is to just go out into a mass gathering. You know,
same deal as like every September when kids go back to school and like every single person and parent gets sick at once.
Yep, for sure. You know, just like January when everyone's coming back from like Christmas break at work, everyone comes back. Oh, you know, it's cold and flu season. Yeah, because everyone's been off and now you come back and you're getting sick because you're around people again. There's going to have to be, you know, maybe they will have to do closed arenas while you kind of ramp up and everything gets to be more safe. And this is another reason I've been kind of sad, is that this was a year that a lot of Canadian teams were going to make it in playoffs most likely, and you know, it's doubtful, not doubtful, but you know, still questionable if the season's even going to continue. And it's looking now like Canada is in such a better place than the United States to recover from this. And, you know, these Canadian teams are probably going to be waiting for the U.S. to be cleared, which won't happen very quickly, I don't think, based on how things are going. So it's going to be really sad.
Entire playoffs get played in Saskatoon.
Yeah, just open up Nunavut, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Play on some permafrost. Get up there.
Neutral site, no home ice advantage. Everyone's good to go.
Yeah, no fans. Just televise everything.
Or it'll be just like the World of Chell mode on NHL 19 and 20. Play out on a frozen lake.
I checked this morning, and there were still zero confirmed cases in Nunavut. So that could be our, you know, Garden of Eden.
They did, however, I think they closed their roads off, so they're not letting people in or something.
There's roads? I didn't know they had roads. I thought they just had snow and ice.
It's just the packed down snow of snowshoes walking over top of it.
Yeah, the snowmobile highway is closed, so no entry. But you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be sad because all these Canadian teams are doing so well, and now it's like, oh, well, that season never actually happened. It's going to be sad. And another thing is that all of these rental trades from the trade deadline are basically meaningless right now unless players re-sign. There's been a lot of... We're going to have to reevaluate a lot of those trades because it's like, did you give up too much? It didn't look like it was going to be too much, you know, but now you only got six, seven, eight games out of somebody.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to punish or penalize the opinion on a trade because of what happened. Like, this is kind of an extreme circumstance.
So no, I don't want to punish them or whatever, but it's like you're going to have to reevaluate the balance of that trade, like the Tyler Toffoli trade, right?
Yeah.
You know, at the time, yeah, Toffoli was unreal on the Canucks. He really meshed with that team. But, you know, they gave up Tyler Madden. You know, now that there's no real timeline for playoffs, looks like LA really made out on that. All the sellers have done really well.
I did also see that I think the league had been talking about compensating teams for the trades or like adjusting the trades or giving stuff back to kind of factor in what just happened and like what you just gave up for someone who you got seven games out of before they left in free agency, mm-hmm. rather than the normal or what you would expected with like a full playoff run. Hmm. So I'd seen something about that, which would be kind of an interesting one, was to what teams would receive in place of the, you know, 20 extra games of that one player.
Yeah, because a lot of them would have been those conditional picks with like, you know, playoff stipulations and stuff. And, you know, if they played this many games, like, well, they never got the opportunity to play that many games. So that's really not a fair exchange. But can you really do that after the fact? Because no one knew this was going to happen. So
exactly.
It's kind of like, I don't know, imagine the 1939 season in the NHL was probably like this when World War II broke out. It's like, oh, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
All of these players are enlisting, and what happens? So it's kind of like one of those...
And I just
worldwide
kind of
events
had to keep just bringing in a whole bunch of, say, random players. Basically, were they amateurs
Scabs.
At that point?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, very, desperate times, right? It's I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. And if it does return, it's going to be really interesting to see what having hockey in the summertime is going to look like.
scary because that's something that's new to everybody. I mean, usually the season's wrapping up right at like the summer solstice, basically. And, you know, we're just left with the draft and free agency and then nothing for the whole summer. So we're going to get a long stretch. We could get a long stretch of hockey, basically, through the summer, through next winter, into next spring, too. Provided
how
that
bad
restarts.
Is next summer going to suck?
It's going to be awkward
because we're going to be used to, you know, potentially used to having hockey into August, September, and then we're going to go without for a few months. It's going to be really hard. First world problems.
Right.
Maybe let's get through this summer and then we can talk about next summer.
Yeah. Let's worry about what's going on right now and then we'll worry about how we'll handle next summer if there's no hockey.
I'm just a future forward thinker, you know. Gotta keep looking down the road.
Plan ahead, know what's coming. Gotta be prepared.
That's what gets me through today. Yeah. Yeah. Any other things that you wanted to talk about?
I think that covers everything I had written down.
Been a weird time. Lots of interesting player interviews happening right now, and you have players saying that they're bored and they got nothing to do.
A lot of players are gaming now.
Yeah, lots of streaming.
Streaming and gaming with fans, which is kind of interesting. It's a new level of fan interaction we're not really used to seeing, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, lots of downtime.
I think that about wraps things up for this week here on ClapperCast. If you enjoy what you're hearing, make sure to spread the word around with your family and friends. Keep up to date with the latest content. You can follow us on Instagram at ClapperCast Media or on Twitter at ClapperCast. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next time with more hockey talk.